This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Hello again. I'm back with program two of a four-part series looking at change. I created this from a book by Alan Deutschman titled Change or Die. I have reframed this to change and thrive, or making change probable. In program one, we looked at how ineffective change is attempted through facts, fear, and force. Another probably effective way is to see changes happening through relate, repeat, and reframe. This new process focuses on making new connections to change with a community of like-minded people, a caring, hopeful community that will reinforce your good attempts, encourage you at your so-called failures, and help you to reframe your thoughts. Today, I want to talk about changing your own life. Change doesn't have to be something that happens to you. In other words, things change, you have no control over it, and you're just forced to cope. You can make it happen on your own. Current neuroscience is interesting in that it's discovering that the brain is plastic. All of our lives, we can learn complex things way later than we thought. People in their 80s and even older are still learning how to do new things. What we realize is that we're not stuck. Our brain doesn't stop developing at a certain age. It really can make positive changes, and it really has a lot to do with how we approach these changes. But there are two major problems with our brain, and that's geography and perspective. What in the world does that mean? Well, let me explain. Geography refers to the fact that when we do things repetitively, when we do things, they become almost automatic. Well, actually, what happens in our brain is that a pathway is established, and that pathway becomes literally a rut that we run down all the time. It's very easy. In fact, it feels automatic that we would do things in certain ways. Even though the brain is plastic and we can learn, naturally, it seems like we develop these pathways. So it can be harder to change. I'm not saying change is easy. It just is harder to change, but it's not impossible. The second thing I talked about is perspective. Things that prevent us from changing is often what we tell ourselves about something or a person and what we feel others think or feel about us. Now think about that. Certainly, there are automatic things that you do, but there are also times where you think, well, I could never do that because they would never give me a chance, or my family doesn't support me in that, or, well, I did that once and I was laughed at, and so they'll just laugh at me again. You see what's going on? A real mix there between what I have told myself about my past and what I have told myself others think or feel. When I used to do a lot of marriage therapy, we had a concept that we called mind reading. And that was, too often couples will mind read the other person's perspective. The husband will say, well, why should I do that? She's just going to respond this way. Do you know for a fact that she's going to respond this way? Usually you don't, but you mind read and you say, well, I'm pretty sure she is. Matter of fact, I'm positive. I'm convinced that she is. And, you know, sometimes our spouses do operate that way, but it's not necessarily an ironclad given. It's very important for us when we look at change, especially making change that we have to make, or it will cause us harm over time to continue on the same way. We have to realize that there's an awful lot, a body of evidence, a body of experience that works against us. It's not impossible, but we have to overcome a fairly big thing. Okay, so how can we change? Especially if we are rigidly set in our own ways, whether through rut or perspective. Well, here's 6 points. Number one, escape. Run away. No, I don't mean run away. I mean that sometimes we have to literally move to a different place from the place that we're so stuck in. Taking on challenges that are new, doing things that you'll be bad at for quite a while rather than returning to what you are good at, using different kinds of intelligence, verbal, mechanical, physical, emotional. This is all a way of putting us in, of escaping out of our standard way of behaving and putting us into something new. Indeed, one of the most greatest ways to keep your brain fit in old age is to learn a new musical instrument or a foreign language. Isn't that fascinating? There have been studies done about children who learn musical instruments or learn more than one language tend to do much better on a wide variety of experiences and grade point averages and everything later on. So it's something about doing something that's really new and out of the ordinary, and especially something that you're not going to be very good at first. Now, if you're like me, I'm not that interested in making a fool of myself. I usually don't consciously go out to do that. I am pretty good at doing it accidentally, but it's hard for me to think about that. But at the same time, if I really want to do some things that push me in that way, I think that escape idea is important. Secondly, a good teacher or coach who's caring and can help inspire and instill hope would be an absolute necessity. The trick is to find someone who's similar to you, who can encourage you upward and onward. So it's not just continue, but to increase your skill, to say that was good, now do it three more times, but do it in a way that you really appreciate that. I don't know how many of us are able to find those kinds of people, but I do know that they are around. But they may not become apparent until we've worked at it for a while. Three, look at your frames, how you put things together. What do you tell yourself? I can never, I will not. Ooh, that must be bad. That's going to hurt. If something is shrouded in a bunch of negatives, that's a good indication that there's a pretty much a frame that needs to be reassessed and readjusted. Number four, are you Cleopatra? There's an old country song in which the woman sang, "Just call me Cleopatra, the Queen of Denial." And that is because a lot of us are going around denying and rationalizing why we can't change. Oh, it's my body type. Oh, I'm naturally this way. Oh, this is in my family. Of course, I'm not going to be able to do anything about my life because all my relatives are diabetic. Well, maybe that's something that you are prone to, but that doesn't mean you have to run to it by doing nothing. Number five, focus on short-term wins. Baby steps are okay here. Sometimes in the midst of difficulty, we have to focus on getting through the next hour, the next day, the next month. And that's perfectly okay to focus on those small steps. Number six, hope. Keep on hoping. Never give up hope. Ask other people to hope for you if you're having trouble holding it on to yourself. There you have it. Six ideas. I usually try for five for the fingers on my hand, but you have to use part of the other hand. Six. Escape. Find a good coach and teacher. Look at your frames. Don't be Cleopatra. Focus on short-term wins and hope. Now, you experience with all of that. You put them all around and figure out how to make something out of this that's different than I might have thought of. Because that's how we make progress. By being creative, looking at the long view, and keeping on. So have fun. Talk to you next time.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.